Good morning.
Good morning.
The first lesson is taken from Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Here ends the first lesson. Psalm 62 will be read responsively by verse. For God alone my soul in silence waits. Truly my hope is in him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation,
my stronghold, so that I shall not be shaken.
In God is my safety and my honor. God is my strong rock and my refuge.
Put your trust in him always, O people. Pour out your heart's sake for him. For God is our refuge.
Those of high degree are but a fleeting breath. Even those of low estate cannot be trusted.
Our souls, they are lighter than the breath, all of them together.
Put no trust in extortion, in robbery take no empty pride. Through wealth increase, set not your heart upon it. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongs to God.
God has spoken once, twice I have heard it. The power belongs to God.
Steadfast love is yours, O Lord, for you repay everyone according to his deeds. The second lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29 through 31. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Here ends the second lesson.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do we have children that would like to join me for a few moments? Yep, let's sit over here. Go ahead. Did you notice, it's been a couple weeks ago, that the thing hanging on the altar there, that the color changed? It was white for a while, now it turned green. Well, that's because in the church year, come on over this way. In the church year, we have different seasons. What are the seasons of our year? Spring, fall, summer. Yeah. Well, in the church, we have seasons too. And each season has a color, and each color means something. And we are in the season now called Epiphany, and the color is green. So the parament, or the hanging on the altar, is green. Why green? Can you see what I have on my stole, what that is?
A tree.
Yeah, it's a tree, a vine. It's something that's growing. And in Epiphany, in the spring, Epiphany starts in the winter but goes into the spring, that's when things grow. That's when farmers plant fields, that's when people plant their gardens. Things grow during the season of Epiphany. And so during that season, we are to pay special attention to growing in our faith, growing what we know and believe about Jesus. We're to grow. And so the season of Epiphany is green. But there's also other seasons. Let's look here. What color is this?
Purple.
Can you stand up here for me? Would you stand up here right there? Please. Thank you. I'm going to let you wear the purple stole. That's, turn around so people can see. Yeah. Purple is that season that comes right after Epiphany, Lent, that leads us up to Jesus. And purple is kind of a sad color. And in during Lent, we remember how Jesus suffered and died for us. But after Lent comes Easter. And the color for Easter is either white or gold. Would you stand up here and put on this one and show people what this one looks like? This one is white, and it is, let's get it on here. I have this trouble too, getting it on right. Yeah, that's the color of white. You want to take that off? Okay. White is also the color that we use for Christmas. It's a pure, clean color, and it reminds us of how God is pure and makes us clean, forgives us. Now, after the Easter season, we have Advent. Can you stand up there? Would you? And Advent is blue. Now, why is Advent blue? You turn around so people can see how handsome you are. The sky is blue, and we look up to the sky, and we know it's not heaven up there, but it reminds us of heaven. And so blue is the color of hope. We're hoping for heaven. And then we get to Christmas when it's white. And then there's one more here. And you, can you stand up here? When you think of red, don't you think of parties and
fire?
Yeah, look at, and on here we have, see that? Flames of fire and the Holy Spirit. And so red is a time of celebrating. And so red is for the Sunday of Pentecost. Other times when there's a celebration, we wear red. And I just ran out of colors, but you got the idea. Each season has a special color, and that color reminds us of something. And the color for Epiphany is what?
Green,
reminding us it's a time to grow. Okay, let's pray. Dear Jesus, help us to grow.
Help us to grow
in this season.
In this season.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Wonderful models you are. Oh, what the heck. We'll fold them later. Thank you. Some of these are really special. The red and green ones my wife made for me when we were still at seminary. They were my the red one was my ordination stole, and the green one. And the red one doesn't get used much. Special high holy days. The green one gets used a lot. So if you look at it, this one looks a little worse for wear, because it gets a lot of use. I have another green one, but I like this one. I think we have a tendency to romanticize, I'm not sure that's the right word, to dress up some of the things that we read in Scripture. And I think we do that for our sake, not necessarily because that's what the Scriptures are saying. And I think the best example of that, of idealizing the Scriptures and making it comfortable for us, is the Christmas story, what we've done to the Christmas story. At Christmas, we have the soft glow of the star over the warm stable. The animals are quiet and serene, almost reverent, despite all the commotion that must have been going on with Mary giving birth of her first child. And every nativity scene I've seen, Mary and Joseph are bowing reverently, adoring their baby in the manger. Never mind that they had been walking all day, and Mary had been in the early stages of labor, and she had just given birth. I suspect she might have been laying down and not kneeling at the manger. And then the shepherds. According to first century historians, the shepherds were a rough bunch. They were considered unclean by the respectable Jews of the town. They were kind of like the guys you might run into at the Blood and Guts bar down on the corner. We think of Christmas Eve and we want a silent night, a holy night, when all is calm and all is bright. But I don't think it was that way. I think we do that so that we can feel good about it. I think the stable must have been a cold, dark, noisy place. Mary's a teenager. Some said she could be as young as 13 years old, and she's given birth for the first time without her mother or other members of her family. And Joseph, what's his experience as a midwife? None. I'm convinced they were exhausted. But we dress it up because we want to feel good and warm about it. And I'm convinced when we dress it up, we lose something. We lose what a great sacrifice our Lord did. First of all, for the Son of God coming to us in human flesh, in the flesh of a helpless, vulnerable baby. And then that baby being not born in a palace or even a house, but in a barn. We lose something of the great sacrifice that our Lord made for us. He was born in a barn. My mother used to say, and I bet some of you have said it too, to your kids, where were you born, in a barn? Thankfully for my mother, no, I wasn't. I was born in a warm, clean hospital, but not our Lord. That's part of the sacrifice he made for us. Anyhow, that's Christmas. I think we do the same thing with the gospel text for today. We dress it up. We see Jesus passing along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Simon, Peter, and Andrew casting their nets into the sea, and he says, "Follow me," and immediately they follow him. And then he sees Andrew and James casting their net into the sea, and he says to them, "Follow me." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they left their nets. Immediately, Mark tells us, they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and off they go. Sounds idealized, sounds romantic. I want to suggest, I don't believe it was as simple as it sounded. They immediately left their nets and followed him. I don't think so. As charismatic and dynamic as Jesus was, I'm pretty sure it was not that easy. Think about it. I'm pretty sure Peter's wife and his mother-in-law would have had something to say about him taking off and following this vagabond preacher. Excavations of what is believed to have been Peter's home in Capernaum indicate that he was a pretty substantial man. And he had a successful and lucrative business. And old Zebedee, what do you think he thought? CEO of Zebedee and Sons Fishing Incorporated. And they're in the boat and his sons up and take off. We know that because Mark tells us they left Zebedee with the hired men. They too had a lucrative business, lucrative enough that they could hire help. I think there's a backstory going on here that Mark doesn't tell us. Mark is concerned with brevity. He's the shortest gospel of the four. And I think there are some things he leaves out. Mark says they immediately left their nets and followed him. Just like that. Immediately left their nets and followed him. I don't think for one moment it was that easy. At least, I hope it wasn't that easy. I hope following Jesus wasn't a whim, spur-of-the-moment thing for them. I think, again, there's a backstory. I think it must have been a struggle for Peter, James, Andrew, and John, a struggle for them to leave everything that was familiar and good and easy life that they had. I think they must have struggled with that decision. At least I hope they did. Like I said, I hope it wasn't a whim. Oh, hey, let's go. Think about it for a moment. Think about that struggle. Rob, if you were to announce you are quitting your job and you're going to, I don't know where, to build houses for Habitat, I suspect Heather might have a thing or two to say about that. I know if I went home and announced, I'm leaving, I'm going back to Tanzania, where my friend Pastor Amane is, and going to work with him in Africa. I think Carolyn would have a few words to say on that subject. I don't think it was easy. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, if it were Jesus calling me, I surely would go. Let me tell you, hear me at this point, Jesus is calling you right now. And to follow should involve some thinking. maybe even a struggle. And that's why I love the story of Jonah. Go home and read it. It's only 4 chapters long. And Jonah and his story, there's no end. They left their nets immediately. For Jonah, it's not wonderfully easy. We see the struggle going on in Jonah, the struggle to carry out the mission to which God had called him. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. God called him to go east, and Jonah caught the next boat going west. There's a struggle going on in this man. We can hear that as Jonah argues with God. He struggled. Like Jonah, you and I have been called into mission. Go and tell the story of Jesus. But it isn't always an easy thing to do. I recall during a Bible study of Jonah, not too long ago, someone asked me, well, does that mean we should go door to door passing out tracts? I wish it were that easy. I quoted St. Francis and how he answered that question. He said, go, preach the gospel, and use words if necessary. In other words, your whole life should reflect who you are and that Jesus has called you. It's not just a matter of walking down the street, passing out tracts, and saying, smile, God loves you. We preach the gospel with our words and our actions. Earlier this week, just as I finished cleaning the snow off the driveway and the sidewalks for the first time, my snowblower stalled. I got it started again, but the auger wouldn't turn, and the motor stalled again. I had no idea what the problem was until later in that day, when all the snow had melted out of it, there was this huge white rock, same color as snow, that's why I didn't see it, wedged in the blade. Well, after 2 trips to a hardware store, the proprietor of the second hardware store knew exactly what I needed. Now, I was in a hurry to get home and get this thing working because there's more snow coming. But I listened patiently as he told me his story. He had been an engineer, I don't recall if he was in the Air Force or with the Air Force, for nearly 40 years. When he retired, he and his wife fulfilled a long dream of running a hardware store together. So they began this hardware store. And then she died. And he was alone in that store that was a constant reminder of her and their dreams together. After a rather long conversation, and remember, I wanted to get out of there. I wanted to get home. I wanted to get this snowblower fixed. But I stood at the counter and listened. And I shared my belief in the resurrection. And I hoped that for a few moments, I was able to fill his lonely day. I like to think I preached the gospel that day, not with words, but with my presence, how I listened. Patiently listened, anxious as I was to get on my way and to get out of there. St. Francis is right. preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Someone else said, I don't know who, someone else said, you may be the only Bible that some people read. Oh, I'm not comparing myself to the disciples or Jonah, not in the least. But sometimes we're called to do something we really don't want to do. And I think Peter, Andrew, James, and John, I don't think they just immediately left their nets. Again, I hope not. I hope it was something that they struggled with and they thought about. And I think they would have struggled with that call, because it's not as easy as it sounds. I know Jonah struggled. We read that. He argued with God, and then he took off in the opposite direction. It's not always easy as it sounds. Sometimes we, like Jonah, argue with God and run away. But the good news is, and there is good news, God does not take no for an answer. God will continue to call. He forgives our tardiness in answering, but he continues to call. You need only listen and perhaps struggle a bit. Amen. Out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you this day and forever. Amen. Go in peace. You are God's beloved.
Thanks be to God.